Man, singing well. Did we ever sing that one before? It's a wrong tune. Well, he was singing all right with that tune. It sounded all right up here. But there you are. Good words. It's always good to sing a new hymn or two now and again. Let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 10. And the Word of God open before us. Just let's seek the Lord, please. Needeth help as we come to the preaching of the Word. Our gracious eternal Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for the old hymns of Zion. And oh God, we can identify with the hymn writer when she said, "The half has not been told me." We bless the Lord, the blood cleanses us from all sin. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would come even just now, and I would, O God, cover us in Thee the blood afresh as we come to the preaching of Thy Word. Thou would still every heart, take away every distracting thought, even about tomorrow or this week. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would shut us in with Thyself. And I ask, O God, for that outpouring of Thy Spirit upon the congregation and upon the preacher alike. O Lord, I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit, that I might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Give us, Lord, help, we pray, in the ministry of Thy Word this evening. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would apply the Word even to individual hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach the end of another year, upon reflection, many of us have undertaken many a journey. Many of those journeys would have been short and routine. But there have been other journeys, and they have been of a different nature altogether. Some have been enlightening, as we have seen maybe new places or seen new things that we never saw before. And it is also this time of the year that we think of the journey that the Savior undertook in leaving the realms of glory behind in accordance to the Father's will, to take upon Himself the form of our nature, yet without sin, and to be born as that babe in that lowly stable. It is also in connection with that arrival that we often consider the journey that the wise men made as they came from the east to see the Christ child. But tonight I want us to come into this Old Testament chapter, and I want us to consider another journey that was undertaken with similarities to that we read about in Matthew 2. Solomon was the king. He had replaced David, his father, to be upon the throne. He is an interesting character in that he made the best start possible to his reign. For the Lord asked him what he desired. And instead of asking for riches or for long longevity of life, as most would be prone to do, and how centuries haven't changed those desires, two things that people still want today are riches and to have a long life. But he didn't ask for those things. But instead he asked for wisdom and for an understanding heart, which God gave to him along with those things which he hadn't asked for. And that wisdom, that discernment from God, was something which was soon witnessed and spoken of throughout his kingdom. Here was a king who had been greatly favored by the God of heaven, and one in whom the wisdom of heaven was truly residing. There were times that this king is a type, or can be seen as a type, of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and there is none like Him in all the earth. Unfortunately, however, there are other times, and Solomon is the very opposite. He may have started off well, but there were those hindrances in his life that he should turn himself from the truth. And surely therein lies a solemn reminder to us all to endeavor to have a good end as well as having a good start in our walk with God. When we come into chapter 10, we find Solomon at the height of his glory and his wisdom. And it's then that this Queen of Sheba was to make her journey. For having heard of Solomon, she desired to come and prove what was said of him. I might suggest to you for that reason that this chapter is primarily a chapter of testimony. And many people, or most people, enjoy testimonies. Some of the closing verses, around verse 20 or so, there's the testimony of the pen man himself. But his testimony is an agreement to the testimony that this Queen of Sheba has already given in the opening verses of the chapter. For having walked away from her tour, she could have been forgiven for exclaiming what many do today when they see something marvelous and something that has taken in their heart. She may have said, "Well, I never. This is unbelievable." Her enthusiastic and fulsome testimony was because she had a meeting with the King. An experience that can only be exceeded by the sinner meeting with Christ. And I've taken as my text the words of verse 7 and 8 in particular. Her words, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes have seen it. And behold, a half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." I want you to first of all consider here the report that was heard. You see, when we read verse 1, we realize that this Queen of Sheba was to hear about the fame of Solomon. The news of Solomon's goodness and of his greatness, and his wealth and his riches, and especially, as I've said, of his wisdom, it was something that was to reach the ears of this queen afar off. The manner in which she heard of his fame were not told. We can only presume, or maybe suspect, that someone would have come down from the north and spoke about this man. When she heard of his fame, she was to connect it with the name of his God. It's obvious that his God had greatly blessed him. It's obvious that he was exercising heavenly wisdom. As far as she was concerned, these were reports that could not be ignored. The desire started to arise within her heart that she would have to investigate the matter for herself. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She had to investigate it. But something else which we learn about this fame, it was a fame which was spread abroad. I think we must appreciate the geography in this setting. When we think of this queen, that she was a great way off. She was, you see, the Queen of Sheba, and that was in the region of northern Arabia. And we understand the distance that the fame of Solomon was to travel when we recall the words of the Savior himself when he used it to refer to her in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. For it simply says, and we'll be turning to there later on, it simply says, "For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." That's how the Lord describes the place where she was. It was counted as the uttermost parts of the earth. It wasn't next door to where Solomon lived. His fame had spread abroad to the extent that is reported of in her own country. But when we listen to her speak in verse 6, we understand that his fame had to do primarily with his acts. Let me read this verse to you. "And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. And I would that you would direct your eye to the margin, because when you do so, you'll notice that it is his saying." She had heard of his acts, or thy sayings and thy wisdom. It was his word that was noted abroad. There were words of wisdom. His word was listened to. His word was acted upon by the people. He showed great discernment in making judgment and ruling his people. You remember the three women who came, with one with a dead child and one with a living child, and how he displayed the wisdom of God in sorting that matter out? The mother who wasn't the mother of the living child didn't want the child to live. She desired that he would take the sword and divide them in half. But the real mother wanted to spare her child. And by that, Solomon detected and understood who the real mother was. Not the one who was a sham, who was a deceiver. And my friend, when we are found speaking of the theme of Solomon, it can only lead us to think of the greater Solomon. The report of Christ is similar to that of Solomon, only greater. You have heard of his report primarily through the preaching of his word. The message from this pulpit has been consistently of this king. For it is the business of the preacher to spread abroad the theme of Christ. The gospel preacher will not desire to entertain. The gospel preacher will not desire to lift himself up before a people or a crowd. But he will desire rather to lift up the beauty of Christ. For the Word of God tells us, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And what a report that we have to give of this greater than Solomon. He is the blessed second person of the Trinity. He is the Son of God and God the Son. His coexistence with the Father and the Spirit was from eternity past, and it was the Godhead who decreed the great plan of man's salvation before the foundation of this world. And when the fullness of time was come, he would leave the throne of glory, and he would come down to the sin-cursed world, not diminishing his eternal deity, but at the same time taking unto himself our humanity, so that he would be truly God, and he will be truly man at the one and the same time. And as a man, he was subject to all the laws of God, yet without sin. For his life was sinlessly perfect, and it was characterized by complete obedience. His earthly ministry was different from the scribes and from the Pharisees, for he spake as one who had authority. The consensus of many was, never man spake like this man. His obedience was witnessed before all when he willingly ascended Mount Calvary to die on that middle cross. He was to die there, the just for the unjust. It wasn't weakness which held him on that tree, but it was his love for his Father and his love for sinners such as you and I. On that cross he died no ordinary death, because he who knew no sin became sin for us. In his body he was to pay the full penalty for that sin before a thrice holy law. As we sang early on, he took the law of God, the wrath of God, and he made it his very own. That was our due. It was laid on Christ, and he died as a sinner's substitute that we might be saved, that he might purchase eternal redemption. He was placed in that tomb, but the third day he rose again, and he was to gloriously ascend back to the throne of God, where he sat down, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And one day, he will return as king to this earth for his own people. That's the report of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a report which has been spread abroad. The Great Commission was to take this report into all the world to be witnesses for God in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It is a report of who Christ is and what he has done for us. And you have heard that report. You have heard that news. That report has reached your ears, and hearing is the first step toward entering into any spiritual blessing. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Savior was to illustrate how important your hearing is. By that, when he spoke of the foolish and the wise men and their building. Because we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and the words of verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. He's just after finishing the discourse that is called the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, the man that hears and doeth according to my sayings, I liken him unto a wise man that builds the house upon the rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. I wonder which of these would describe you. You have heard of the Savior's report, the greater than Solomon. Now what have you done with it? The report heard. You'll also lead, that leads us on to show you the response that was given. But this Queen of Sheba decided that there was only one fitting response that she could give. There was a sense in which she could not fully believe all what she had heard of this man. But there was enough to arouse her spirit. And despite all the obstacles and what seemed to be those things that were strewn in the way to prevent her going any more forward with this, she was determined to take that journey and to make her way to him. You see, her response was, she came for herself. Verse 7. Albeit I believe not the words until I came. Here was one who was coming in search of the truth. I can read into that she probably was coming in the search of Solomon's God, who evidently had blessed them so richly. There were so many questions which were arising within her heart and within her mind. And if these were ever going to be answered, then she believed that she must come to this man. The testimony of the Holy Ghost is that she came with hard questions. And when she came before him, she was to commune with Solomon of all that was in her heart. She opened up her heart to the king. But when she did so, she was to see personally that nothing was too hard for this man. Verse 3, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He was able to answer the most difficult of questions. It may have been a long and difficult journey to make. There may have been many obstacles in the way, but it proved to be worthwhile when she came in touch with the king. It was a response which was to see for herself all that this king had and how much she had been blessed. Her response was one which brought forth a conclusion from her. For the words of verse 7 also tell us, behold, she said, the half has not been told me. She concluded that in hearing him speak and in seeing him for herself, that the report that she had heard was only a part of the whole story. There was much more besides which she hadn't been told until she came. The response of this Queen of Sheba gave, it stands as an example for every unbeliever in this congregation tonight. If she were able to speak, she would encourage you to come to the greater King, even the Lord Jesus Christ. You have had a marvelous report of Him. You've heard it. It may be that there are those eternal questions that are weighing heavy upon your soul. Oh, if only your response was like this King, this Queen. That you, dear friend, would only take that step of faith and that you would come to the Lord of glory just as you are, as a sinner who needs the greatest question of all to be settled in your life and in your heart. What is it? It's a question about your sin. And it will be proof to you that nothing is too hard for the Lord. In John 1, we read of Philip. And Philip went to a friend called Nathanael. And he told them that they had found the Christ of whom the prophets of old had written. And there were the obvious doubts that arose within the mind of Nathanael along the line. Was it ever possible? Was it possible that any good should ever come out of Nazareth? And Philip said simply, come and see. Come and see. Nathanael was to come. And he was to realize for himself that the Savior was one who knew everything about him ever before he ever met him. John 1:47 says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me, Lord? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. I want to tell you, unbeliever, the Lord knows everything about you. Every last detail. Every last detail, every T that's crossed, every I that's dotted, He knows everything about you. He knows all about that wickedness in your heart. He knows all about those sins that you draw close to your breast and you will not let go of. And you haven't even met Him yet. And Nathanael was led to confess with his mouth in verse 49. He said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What do you think of the woman that met the Lord by the well? She was to go back into her town. She was to tell the men folk there, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? He knew all about her. Dear sinner friend, if not only in hearing of Christ, but also in coming to Him, you too would realize that He is the answer to all the questions. He is the answer to all the problems in your life. He is the only answer to your greatest problem, that is sin. And thereby you hear His words of invitation, Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all yet labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the one who is the remedy for your sin. He's the answer. And if you ever want to live for eternity in God's heaven, for He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not by good works. It's not by church attendance. It's not by being that goodly neighbor that you are. You must come by faith to Christ. You have this guarantee that if you come, He will not cast you out. Understand that. What a guarantee. Doesn't matter what you've reveled in for 20, 30, 60 years, He'll not turn you away. But you know, the sad thing is this, that having heard of the Savior time and time again, He still has heard to say those words of John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Peter was to realize that there was no one else to whom he could turn to. While others turned away, while others were to turn back again from the Savior, Peter was to say, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. If you will not come to Christ, then you'll never be saved. And miss Christ and you miss heaven. That's why we implore you to do what the Queen of Sheba did. To come to the King. And I remind you in His words that behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There's a fearful note, you know. I made reference just a little minute or two ago to Matthew 12, and I'll read it. It's the words of the Savior, and He's to speak of those who had heard and yet they refused to come. Matthew 12:42 says, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There are words that are highlighting the unbelief in Israel. They sought for a sign. They wanted a sign. You'll see that in the words of verse 39, 38. They wanted a sign from the Lord, but they were refused any such sign. And instead, the Lord was to direct their thoughts, even to remind them of the resurrection and of the great judgment that was to come. And the Queen of Sheba, she will rise up in the judgment and she'll condemn them. For having heard, she came from a great distance, and she was to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet one greater is brought before you tonight, and he invites you to come. What sort of response will you give? Luke 12 and verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Unless you bend the knee before the Lord, you will see the Queen of Sheba striding into that judgment hall, pointing her finger at you, for you are more privileged than her. You heard of the greater King. He was brought right to you. You understood all about him. What he has done, what he could do for you. And yet you rejected him. And you stand on that judgment hall before him. It was too late. The response given. And then I want you to see the satisfaction experience. When the Queen of Sheba was to come to the king, her seeking was rewarded. Sure, for she was to find more than she ever expected. You'll notice that she was to see 8 things in verse 4, and 8 is the number in Scripture of the new beginning. The 8th day is the new start of a new week. And there's 8 things in that verse. First of all, being the wisdom of God. And of course, Christ, we understand, is the wisdom of God. She was also to see His house and His servants. And the last thing that she was to see was the manner of His ascent up into the house of God. And when we consider Christ, we realize that no ascent is greater than His to Calvary and then on to glory itself. For He has ascended back to heaven, and because of His obedience and because of His finished work on the cross, He has opened up a new and living way which He has consecrated for us. The Queen of Sheba, in coming to the King, she was to be satisfied more than she ever expected. The joy of knowing the King was to far exceed the grandest report that she ever had heard of Him. Satisfaction could be seen in His servants, for the Queen was to speak of them and their happiness. Look at verse 8. Happy are they, are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. The implication was that they had something which she did not have, she did not possess. And their happiness was due to the fact that they were privileged in being able to stand before the King, of being in His presence. They were there to hear every word that dropped forth from His lips. Her satisfaction was to lead her giving presents, as the wise men did, even unto the King. And she was also to receive an abundance of gifts from him. Look at verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. She was to receive abundantly more than she could ask for. Or even imagine. And the satisfaction that the Queen was to have is a portion of the satisfaction that the sinner receives when they come to Christ and acknowledge Him as Lord and as Savior. It is the Lord who is able to give us that peace and that joy, that which is unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of sins forgiven. The joy of being in His presence. For in His presence there's fullness of joy and there are pleasures forevermore. All who have come to Christ will testify that the joy of knowing the Lord has far exceeded the best reports that ever they heard of Him. That joy is experienced in her service to Him. What a privilege to know the Lord. What a privilege to serve Him. Do you know the Lord tonight? Have you come to Him for salvation? The King desires that you would give Him the most valuable possession that you have. It's your soul. Your soul. How well the hymn writer put it, Isaac Watts. We're the whole realm of nature mine. That we're an offering far too small. Love so amazing. So divine. Demands my soul. My life. My all. I wonder, will you give the Lord your soul, your life, your all tonight, sinner, as God's Spirit is striving with you? Come to Christ. Come to the King. Be saved. And be satisfied. And you'll be able to say, like the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told me. Will you come? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, closing. The half has not been told you. Words of men, they fall far short of speaking of Him who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can tell you some. We can tell you much of what He has done for us. But you need to come yourself. Just like the Queen of Sheba did. The half has not been told us. Will you come tonight? Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for the stillness, the attentiveness given even to Thy Word. And O God, we bless Thee for the picture that even that we have seen here in Queen of Sheba coming to the King. And Lord, we are mindful of what the Savior said, that a greater than Solomon is here. And O God, I pray that there will be a similar response. As God's Spirit is striving with the heart of a man or a woman or a young child, or even a young person, that, oh God, this night, this very moment, they would call unto Thee to save them by Thy grace. Lord, we pray that for that drawing power, we pray for that deciding grace, we pray for the gift of faith to be given, that a soul might leave the house of God tonight, knowing Christ, knowing Him as their Lord and as their Savior. And they'll be able to say, the half was not told me. Lord, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us with Thy fear and Thy blessing. For we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.